Welcome, adventurers, to Probability of Demise, the podcast where critical fumbles meet critical facepalms. Join us as we delve into the darkest dungeons, slay the stupidest gremlins, and roll enough ones to make a beholder weep. Forget epic storylines and heroic deeds. Here we celebrate the chaotic beauty of bad rolls, questionable decisions, and characters with more charisma than sense. We'll be your dungeon masters of disappointment, guiding you through campaigns where the only guaranteed treasure is a mountain of laughter, and maybe some psychic scarring. So grab your Nat 1 dice, strap on your anxiety helmets, and prepare to witness the glorious train wreck that is our D&D journey. Because, in the end, even if your character dies face first into a pile of pudding, at least you'll have the dice god's permission to laugh your ass off. And welcome back to Probability of Demise. We are so excited to have you again here for us to be silly and ridiculous. And of course, we have some big issues coming soon, but we're going to let everybody who's been on pins and needles suffer a little bit longer because we have our very favorite specialist thing to do in the world and way to delay the inevitable.
Okay, hello all. Today we are rolling this beautiful 100 die, and today we have rolled a it's supposed to be a 98. It's not really. There we go. So today's word of the day is quotidian, which means it kind of occurs every day, kind of without failure, that kind of a thing. Used in a sentence, every morning he followed the same quotidian routine, waking up at 6 a.m., brewing a cup of coffee, reading the newspaper. There you go. The more you know.
What's the middle part of that word?
Titty.
If we use the word titty, do we get half inspiration?
No, you get minus 60 inspiration. Last time we were together, the party, well, really Gus was working to expose some information, find some things out for the current case, but also on a little bit of a sideline, digging into a fraudulent ascended temple, one that really twists the teachings of the healing spaces, as well as getting worked into some other little spaces that they might need to figure out. You know, life is happening. Gus, our gnome investigator, peered too far down the wishing well and was critically injured as they were attacked by some of the members of the Ascendant cult. The rest of our party, Serafina, a little injured, but not terribly, and Ulua, who wasn't present there at all, have been, you know, dealing with life as they go. Ulua is at the hospital where she had been finding out some interesting information, but also bringing joy to the hearts of young people who are ill. When suddenly, Serafina and Gus were teleported by a mysterious figure into the midst of a medical meeting of sorts, and all those wonderful things thrown together. This is not as well put together as I thought it was going to be, because I am excited that I've downed one of the party members.
By critically injured, you mean he did.
He did. So it has been 30 seconds since Gus went down, exploding into this small room, teleported by this mysterious figure who brought you, Serafina. You look around a space full of shocked faces, and one of them happens to be Ulua. Serafina, can you just tell me what your first thought is in this space
Probably. Alua.
Dead Gus in hand. Serafina's first thought is, oh, she's hot.
Just like Serafina, holding this gnome, like, how you doing?
You make eye contact with Alua. Alua, she has an expression that does not match the dire straits that Gus apparently is in. But you do see Serafina holding the body of Gus.
Sorry, there's growling and snarling in the background.
It's the children in the hospital.
It is. It is. They've gone feral. What?
Dead. Fix. And I look back at the person whose hand I grabbed, who like brought us here.
If anyone can do it, the folks here.
I turned to the person I was just speaking with. I was like, if anybody can help us find out what's going on, it's him. We need to help him. I'm not strong enough to bring anyone back. I can do simple healing spells, but do you have anyone with the skills to help him?
We're gonna have to bring in others for this. How long has he been?
I turn and look at Serafina. How long?
Not long. I don't know. Not long.
He reaches out and he, you sense more than see, a spell being cast of some sort, and Gus goes rigid. His body no longer moving. This will hold for a bit, but we need to have a consultation with the priestesses.
Okay, do we bring them here? Do we bring him to them? What do you recommend?
Given what we were just speaking of, I feel like it would be best to use the underground passages.
Okay. Lead the way.
They're shared by many temples, so... Frederick, and kind of looking around nervously, grab the gems. This will be expensive.
Anything you need. I will figure it out.
And so saying, Serafina and Ulua, you are led, carrying the frozen in stasis corpse of Gus down below the healing wards of this temple complex and into the crypts, and down along various passageways through that space. I will get back to you in just a moment. Gus.
Hello.
You have this last memory of crystals taking shape on your body. But when you open your eyes, you feel whole. You feel young and limber, like you haven't in years.
Hello. Pat
checking
myself where there was like crossbow wounds. Crossbow.
There's no sign of wound. In fact, many of your scars are gone. Your facial hair feels silky and smooth.
Am I like in a bed or like where am I?
As you kind of try to get a sense of your surroundings, I would like you to roll an intelligence saving throw.
Oh boy. 10.
You can't quite tell what's going on, but it's like you're reliving memory and you're in your old home and you can hear humming coming from another room. A familiar humming that you haven't heard in quite a while.
I'm going to wander through the house towards the humming.
You get up and you make your way through the house and feel a pulse at your side where you recently tucked a token. And you're distracted from that feeling as your wife's voice comes to you. Are you up? I'm making coffee. You got to get out to meet the boys soon. The case you're working on, sweetie.
Where am I? You can't be here. You're gone.
Yes. I will be gone in just a bit, but for right now, let's get you packed up.
He's gonna run over and just like grab her face and just kiss her.
As you kiss her, I would like you to roll another intelligence saving throw.
Hey, yeah.
7. Okay, you're done, dice.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that. Are you okay?
You're young. I'm young.
Well, yes.
You died. You got sick and you died.
Did you have a nightmare?
No. Not unless I dreamed the next 50 years. I don't know what's happening to me.
She lays her hand on your head as she has done before when you were ill but unwilling to admit to it.
I think I'm dead. I was shot and then I was on the floor at Serafina's.
Who is Serafina?
A friend. I think I died.
No. Roll another intelligence saving throw.
Let's try a different dice. That's a nat 20. The same dice that killed me gave me a nat 20.
All right. It's your if, then when.
It's my new crit fail dice. I put away Asher's crit fail dice. These are going to be Gus's crit fail dice.
As you have these realizations and these things running through your head, the scene in front of you fades away. And there's a statue.
Also, like she fades away?
Yeah. The whole scene.
And she does. I'm like, no. And then, yeah.
As that all fades away, you are confronted with a statuesque figure that you only recently just met. Covered, it appears, in shadow. Whereas when you met this person in the crypt, their hood was pulled forward. Now you can see that it's pulled back and there's a diadem of gems and jewelry. Their face pale, elven features very pronounced, almost exaggeratedly so.
Where did she go?
Did you complete the task?
I didn't. I think I died. I went to the Ascendant Temple down the street and I
was following up on another investigation, and someone followed me, and I died.
Do you feel you've fulfilled your purpose?
I don't know. I'm so tired. But my friend's father, if I don't tell her that he has to about the medicine, and her brother, and Sticky Beak needs us to help with. I still have things to do, I think.
Would she understand?
Who?
Your wife. Do you think she'd understand that you delay your time together?
I think she would tell me do the right thing, which means to finish my job. Can I see her?
For a moment. And this time, as the experience in front of you fades away, you feel yourself in your own age, and you see her not as she was at the absolute end as the illness took her, but as an older woman, mature woman. And she greets you. As she greeted you anytime you came back from work. Are you here?
I am, but I can't stay. I have things to finish. It's important. People could be hurt.
Are you hurt?
I was. I someone followed me, and I was shot and poisoned.
Do you have anyone at your back?
I think I do. I have new friends. We've been working together on a big case.
Do they trust you?
Yes, I think they do.
Do you trust them?
I do.
I met someone here. Someone you know.
Who?
If you can, take this back with you. And she hands you a four-leaf clover.
I don't understand.
Chase the end of this rainbow and come back to me.
I will. I'm sorry, I don't want to go.
As that moment lingers for you, Gus, as you are able to tender your farewells to your wife and stave off the future. We're back with Ulua and Serafina. You've been slogging through these under-temple passageways. Some have been clean and well kept. Others have been just a slog through misery. And you come to a space where you see a mausoleum of sorts underground. As the person who's been guiding you steps up and knocks on the door, you are confronted with a priestess to Tanzanite, one of the Shadow Witches.
Our friend, he's been helping us, and I turned to Serafina. I don't, what even happened? Why?
He went down. I have no idea.
Well, where?
What is it you seek?
He's dead, and he can't. We need him.
It is natural for those to pass on.
This isn't natural. He was... Look at him. Look. There's nothing natural about the way he died.
As they look at Gus, you can see that they're just eyeing the body, and they take note of the crystals. Ah, Wyvern's tears. A strong poison.
He was. Do you have like an antidote for Red?
Oh. No, but let me examine the body. And their hands begin to glow, and they pass their hands over him, and they pause at his pocket. Could one of you pull that out?
Since I'm assuming Serafina is still holding him, I'll retrieve it.
You retrieve it. It is a little badge token, similar to the one that Gus had picked up in your investigation of the Batmaster's residence.
I realize it's different than the one that he grabbed? Similar, but different?
It's definitely different, and you can tell that it's different because rather than... a lack of symbol here in this space, it is glowing brightly. It's a moth with the face of Gus's wife on it in the pattern of its wings. You don't know Gus's wife, but you can see that there's this female form, a silhouette.
We found something like this when we've been trying to figure out what's going on in the city, and it's been leading it's just been opening more and more doors and questions, but people tried to kill us a week ago, and one of them had something similar to them on them, and they were all in a uniform, and
this is her token. Do you believe that she's entered into a contract with your Gus?
I don't know who she is.
My lady, Tanzanite of the Shadows.
I turned to Seraphine and I was like, has he said anything to you? I don't...
No, nothing to me.
He hasn't mentioned anything of serving anyone. I just know he was a member of the city watch for many years and helped a great deal of people, and we kind of, well, he wasn't disagreeable to helping people again, but we essentially pulled him out of retirement. I just can't help but feel that he has so much good he is supposed to do still.
Roll a persuasion check.
You did a natural 20, so I'm not going to trust you. Ooh. Why did you? Why are
every
you
time
not?
You say ooh, I think, ooh, Lua.
That is a 25.
The token might have been just enough, but your words reassure me. I believe that she would be okay with him coming back. And she looks to the healers. Please feel free to perform your ritual.
Is there anything you need from us?
Oh, I won't be doing anything, but the healing temple and our temple have come into an accord around death. And it seems that your friend here might be one of the exceptions. Please. And you can see that the two temple healers, their faces just lighten up as they, oh, great. Thank you. And the door shuts to the mausoleum style space where the priestess was standing. How much time do we have left?
I don't know. It wasn't long when she brought him, when they showed up and somebody else cast something that kind of seemed to freeze him.
Okay. We'll get started. This is expensive.
What do you need?
We don't want to put you into debt.
What do you need?
It requires diamonds that are fairly pricey. We have the supplies.
Answer the question. What do you need?
We need money.
How much?
500 gold.
Done.
They both kind of look a little bit surprised and aghast. All right. Let's find a clear space to do this work. We shouldn't go back up above. It would be too far to go. Can you help us find a location to perform the ritual? We just need space.
From here? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to figure out if I can orient myself based on the temple.
You could roll a survival check to see, like, if you could mentally backtrack through the tunnels that you've been through to a space that you think would be of an appropriate size.
I know this temple, right? I just didn't necessarily know, like, her symbol. I know where this temple is in the city, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how far? But
they've closed the door to you, the underground door.
So we're stuck in the passages underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, but still within Overton where.
Yeah, you're not yet in Underton. You haven't gone that deep. You're just right in the under passages of the Temple District.
Okay. And okay, so Temple District. Da, 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 da. Let me find the map. Boop. I mean, to me, it seems like my place is the closest, and I'm not saying this out loud. I just don't know if I know of these passages or anything. I mean, I guess I can roll history.
I think you're pretty aware that the temple passages are fairly unknown to you. I mean, like, there's all the rumors and mysteries around the temple passages, and that they are just like an enclosed ecosystem that the gods use to go visit each other is kind of like the folklore behind them. But if you would like to roll a, I'm trying to think of like, what are you trying to discover? Are you trying to think if there's a connecting passageway to other locations, or are you trying to figure out
I guess I'm trying to think if there's any, if I would know of any secret passages near where I live that either I would have made use of that possibly could connect to these, or if
it's, yeah, so or if we're leveraging like your history of subterfuge and
yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and roll a history check.
Net one.
No.
I don't know oh shit.
I want to just look at the two people we have, and I'm like, aren't these your tunnels? Don't you know where to go?
We only know the passage between temples, and we don't have time to get all the way back to the other temple. Did you see anything as we ran over here? Our attention was forward, not...
There's got to be something.
Can I, like, roll a, I guess, history, intelligence? I don't know,
retroactive. Like perception? I said before, either of you could do this. You could roll a survival check.
Okay.
To see if you noticed anything on your frantic rush up.
Roll for cartography.
Roll for, did we see it?
Which is that survival you said?
Yeah.
It's slightly better.
Gus has 15. Proficiency in cartography, but he's dead, so.
15.
Okay. I think you suspect, you're not sure, that a couple of twists and turns ago, there was a side passage that opened up a little bit, and you suspect that that might be a bigger space that would work for whatever they're talking about.
What did you roll, Seraphina?
I only rolled a 13.
I think I maybe saw something, but I can't. I don't know if it fits your needs. I don't know exactly what you need, but I guess we have to give it a shot.
We'll have to try. The time trickles away. Lead us on.
And I retrace my steps and go back to where I thought I saw the passage.
So you make your way back, and it does turn out to be a space that is slightly bigger. You can see that there's an altar. And looking around the room, it is a bit grim. There's a lot of iconography of skulls around the space, and the altar itself is stained, hopefully with rust. It does appear to be an iron altar, but that could also be blood.
As they're bringing him forward, because I'm me, I'm just going to attempt to prestidigitate the, see if I can get the, if it's blood or rust or what.
Yeah, as you cast your prestidigitation, you feel it fizzling as it doesn't quite scrape into anything. If anything, it brightened the altar's grotesque look a bit.
I'm going to take one of my silks that I kind of like have draped around me kind of in general, and I'm just going to take it and I'm going to kind of drape it over so that there's at least
a barrier.
Yeah.
You drape it over, and could I have you roll an arcana check? Because you are magical.
If I come back as a drider, I'm going to be very upset.
Not that magical. 12.
You feel a cold breeze as you lay the material over, but nothing alarming.
Okay. Can I roll an insight check?
What are you checking, like, insight-wise? Just like vibe check?
Yeah, but like kind of like...
That
like
was the arcana check was your
My vibe intuition. Check. Okay.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay.
It would have to be magically connected, but
okay. I guess here.
The two priests healers look at each other. Okay. And they gesture for Seraphina to lay Gus at the altar.
Yep. I go and lay him.
Seraphina, you lay him down. Could you go ahead and roll an arcana check as well?
Oh, yeah. Arcana is... Ooh, plus 7.
Bitch!
22.
As you lay him down, you feel a cool breeze sort of expand, and your vision kind of shifts for a moment, almost into a mage sight sort of shift, such as what Detect Magic does, and you see something very interesting and it triggers your curiosity, but then your vision shifts back because you have not cast that spell, but you are aware that something magical just happened.
Can I, you know, once I lay him down and everyone's doing what they're, you know, doing, can I, pressing all the wrong buttons.
As she's looking that up and as he's laying there, I'm just, because he's crystallized, but is he like, and I know the thing made him like rigid, but is he kind of not, for lack of a better word, poseable?
He's not movable in that way. He's okay. Been stiff in Seraphina's arms. Think it's like rigor mortis.
Okay.
Sort of.
The word. Okay. Well, if possible, if his hand is open in any way, one of them, I want to at least like kind of take it and.
Yeah, I mean, you can
kneel next to. Like, yeah. Kneel, sit, whatever.
Yeah, it's a little bit discomforting to do that. And Seraphina, what are you doing?
I wanted to, I don't know, I feel like she would know if it was better to do like a perception kind of a thing or cast identify to try to figure out like what just happened.
Perception is not going to give you anything new. That you're
okay.
You're not going to get anything out of that at all. Identify, perfect. I'm just curious what you're going to identify.
I guess the altar.
Okay. Go ahead and check off that spell slot if you're going to do that.
Identify. Oh, do I need to roll anything? Or no, I'm just going to touch it.
Yep. So go ahead and read out what identify does, just so we're all on the same page.
All right. You choose one object that you must touch throughout the casting of the spell. If it is magic, if it's a magic item or some other magic imbued object, you learn its properties and how to use them, whether it requires attunement to use and how many charges it has, if any. You learn whether any spells are affecting the item and what they are. And if the item was created by a spell, you learn what spell created it.
So as you're touching it, you start getting a lot of that information. The first thing you find is that there was a spell cast on it, an alarm spell. It rebuilds itself and it has multiple charges. And you can tell that it went off a couple of times already and it has a few charges left. As Ulua reaches up and holds Gus's hand, you feel it triggered again. Further, you identify that this altar has been corrupted from its original purpose. It was originally an altar of bounty and harvest and other such positive life bringing things of farming and agricultural uses and practices. But something's been done to it, and now it seems to try to pull properties from things that are laid onto it. And you sense as you're feeling it that it's currently pulling the crystals, the Wyvern's poison. Wyvern's tears from Gus, which in this moment is a positive thing, you think, but you can tell that it's greedy and hungry, and it will try to pull more. And even as you're having that moment, you see the diamond being laid upon Gus's chest by the two healers as they cast their spell.
I just want to like ready myself to grab Gus off of this thing as soon as he has any form of not dead him. Like, oh, a twitch,
any sign of
a
life,
breath. Yeah.
Gus, you saying your goodbyes to your wife, feel yourself pulled back, like a string was attached to your navel and has just been jerked really hard, and you're pulled back. Do you resist at all?
I feel like there's going to be like just a few moments of like hesitation, and then he'll go.
You're slammed back into your body, or at least that's what it feels like, because there are two holes in your body that have been bleeding. You're weak from blood loss. The crystal intrusions, for some reason, are gone, but your whole body, your organs feel tender, and you awake with one hit point. Two people, unrecognizable to you, loom over you, faces anxious. Another individual is holding your hand. You can see, as your eyes blurrily come into focus, the green of their hand.
I'm just very disoriented because I've been a lot of different places in the last hour or so, or whatever. Like, that spell takes an hour to cast, right? So, like, it's been a while.
No, it doesn't take an hour to cast. It's, this particular spell is pretty quick.
Okay. Okay, well, for the last, I guess it'd be realistically like 10 minutes or so.
Time doesn't run normally in the death world, so it could have been centuries that you stood there. Okay. But in your head,
regardless, I was running through the street, and then I was at Serafina's, and then I was in my old house, and then I was wherever my wife was, and then I was talking to Tanzanite. Like, so, like, he wakes up, and he's like, "Oh God, now what? Like, where the hell am I?" But he looks
around. I
think,
given that tenor of "Oh God, now what," as your like focus drifts past Alua, maybe not fully taking in that she's the hand that's holding yours, you can see the motif of skulls, and it's the match to the skulls that we're in the Ascended Temple.
Oh no, did I go to hell?
Do you say that out loud?
Mm-hmm.
I immediately kind of shove him off the altar.
I hope
Gus,
I don't take one point
make
of
a
damage.
Dexterity saving throw.
Oh shit.
I would also like to attempt to keep hold of him. Not on the altar, but like just
keep him from like splatting and dying. Alua is trying to protect you a bit and trying to support you, so go ahead and roll that dexterity saving throw with advantage.
Fifteen.
You are pulled off and pushed off and held upright, body weak and in extreme pain. Barely conscious at this point. And it's in that moment that you all hear speedy footsteps headed your direction.
Am I alive?
Barely. And only recently.
I'm going to look at Alua just like I saw my wife.
Shoot, where's that? I mean, that would make sense as she's passed. I turn to the healers and I go, should we not be here now?
I don't remember how we got here, so could you, we only know the passage that...
I mean, are we going to get, is that trouble coming or is that help?
They stop and listen. And you realize that because they were in the ritual, they could not hear this.
I want to...
I'm using your passive perceptions, by the way. That's why you all know, but their passive perceptions are not high enough to pick this up.
Good. I want to, like, put my hand on Gus's forehead and cast one more Cure Wounds while I say...
Good ahead of you.
That's 10, by the way. You get a whole 10. At least it's something.
That is better than one. Thank you.
And just be like, this thing's it's like an alarm system that we've set off, but I don't know an alarm for what.
That's why I'm asking. That's why I'm looking at these two.
They look completely off guard. And as you all say this stuff, you hear shouts and people dressed in the same Serafina that you saw and Gus that you saw, the same clothing as you previously encountered, come busting through.
Cloud of daggers on the entry.
Okay, let's go ahead and cast that cloud of daggers. We'll mark that off for this, for that the entrance that they're trying to come through. I would like everybody to roll initiative.
One second, I just need to.
Can I cast a cloud of daggers on top of her cloud of daggers?
Clouds of daggers. I will say that this chamber is not a single entrance chamber, so you could cast it on the other entrance if you'd like, if you prefer, before we go too much further.
Let's do that.
Completely trap us. Great.
I mean, it's a concentration spell. You can take it down whenever you want.
You can also move it.
Initiative?
Yes.
Initiative, gonna roll this dice. And
I got 19.
Ooh.
16.
Wow. 22.
Ooh.
Look at you.
Bard's got it.
I rolled for my cloud of daggers, and I rolled 3 fours and a 3 out of 4d4.
Do we have to roll for the cloud of daggers, or just wait until somebody runs into it?
Well, if they start in it.
Yeah, I was
they start their turn in it.
Well, I wasn't sure if they were like here yet. Okay.
They said they bust through.
They're running through. So I think that the first individual breaks through before that, but because they were racing into this area, but the following ones are going to be caught. Or they're going to be afraid to go through it because it's a cloud of daggers. It's not invisible, so they might just stay back. Who knows? We'll find out in a moment. In a moment. Ulule, you've like hair trigger cast cloud of daggers and stopped up one entrance, and Gus has stopped up the other one. One individual had just made it through before they're standing in front of you, but you can hear the screams as somebody right behind them, kind of obscured by where they're standing and everything, is being sliced and diced. What would you like to do? You are first up in initiative.
I would like to cast sleep on that that person.
Okay, go ahead and roll the dice for the see if it matches the hit points.
25 is hit points.
That knocks this one individual out by a single point.
Okay.
They slump into sleep as they just like cross that threshold.
As a reaction, I yell to the healers and to Serafina and Gus, and I look at Gus and I say, "That way," and I point to his cloud of daggers. It's like, "We need to leave."
Okay, so a swirling cloud of daggers at one entrance, another the other entrance that you all came through in the original run. With a swirling cloud of dagger. Serafina, it is your turn.
Okay. So... I'm gonna start running to where she pointed? Because there was another exit. That's what she pointed
out. Yeah, it's currently covered by another cloud of daggers.
Over it, so I have to drop it on my turn. Sorry.
I see. I'm going to ready. Can I just ready an attack for if someone comes through the door, the doorway that Gus's dagger thing is on?
Yeah.
I want to, yeah, just ready my daggers to swipe, swipe. The first person I see once that's cleared.
So you're like holding your attack action?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So you're holding your action in case anything comes through. You hear a second scream from the original entrance as somebody else steps into that cloud of daggers. And then it's Gus, your turn.
I will. This will drop the concentration anyway. I'm going to take my ring and cast Entangle underneath her cloud of daggers to hold all those people there.
Okay. Stacking Entangle underneath her cloud of daggers. Okay.
Strength 13 is the save.
Well, that sucked. Okay. They're going to be dead. So that's a bigger square too. Are you casting it so that it's just at the edge of the cloud of daggers and then into the room that you're in? Or are you casting it so that, like, where are you casting it?
I would cast it underneath, like just underneath the cloud. I don't want to wake the other guy up. So I'm going to cast it just like at the start of the cloud of daggers and like out from there.
Okay, great.
I'll drop my cloud of daggers because of concentration.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So you still have movement. You can try to run out.
I also would have, for my movement, been heading that direction.
Yeah, I will just
made motions of heading towards that way.
Yeah, I'm just gonna like use all my movement to go that way. 25 feet.
So you both head in that direction. So we're switching from combat to a chase. As you both peek out that door, I would like you to roll a perception check. I feel like my stealth was pretty good, but it might not be that great. It wasn't like awesome. It was just
14.
14, Gus.
Shoot, 9. No, okay. 6. Leave me alone. I was dead five seconds ago.
In one direction, Ulua, is the pathway you took from the original healing hall. The other direction is towards Tanzanite's temple, the temple to death and shadow. Which way do you choose to go?
Can I do another like history / survival check to see if I remember any other offshoots? Like, was it a direct tunnel? Were there other tunnels, or is this like?
There are definitely other tunnels, even as you were, especially with your ability to kind of catch this location. But since you are trying to recall more about those types of things, is there any like specific offshoot you're hoping to find, or?
I mean, anything with an open door. So I mean, because the one to Tanzanite's temple is closed, so
yeah,
if I remember anything where it seemed like at least there was farther to go.
Yeah, so if you went to the left back towards the healer space, you know there's a couple of side passages in that direction, but they did not, like, the air was very still. You can't quite recall that stuff. If you head back towards Tanzanite space, there were a couple of passages, but again, you can't really quite recall. Go ahead and roll that survival check, and we'll see if you get lucky.
9.
you can't quite remember anything specific. So either direction you could go, you know that there are some side passageways, but those could also be side passageways that more of this cult's following could be using to get down here,
and
or ways for you to escape. So yeah, it's a 50-50 situation right now.
And technically, the entrance... So I'm just trying to orient myself visually here. We're in this space. We're at this other doorway. Where is the other entrance where the Cloud of Dagger is in relation to this doorway?
You're down a little bit of hallway from the space where the Cloud of Daggers is in, because that was a room that was kind of off that you didn't quite see. So it was like, okay, it was down a little bit of a passage and then a turn. So you're beyond the... If somebody like was able to get through the Cloud of Daggers, they'd have to come around the corner to see you.
Right. But my question is...
And you're
is,
looking at a space with a hallway in two different directions. You have a left and right choice.
Right.
Or but you can go back.
My question is there any way for me to know that, like, if one of those directions connects to that other entrance into like a circle or...
With your survival check, you don't have enough information about those passageways.
It's more just I can't visualize the space that ball. All right, I guess right towards Tanzanite.
Okay. Gus, do you follow?
Yep.
Okay, and then Serafina, you follow that passageway?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Serafina, you have not rolled it yet, and you're at the back of the pack because of just how the order of timing went with delays and such. So Serafina, I would like you to roll a perception check as you're at the back and most likely to...
Yeah, 21.
You can hear coming from behind you where the healer's space was, shouted orders. So you know that behind you there is pursuit. Just ahead of you are the two priests, kind of looking nervous and hurried, the two priest healers. And then ahead of them is Gus, and then ahead of Gus is Ulua.
Can I make out what orders were being said?
Roll a perception check.
Okay.
We'll do a second one. See if you can pick up anything more.
Okay. 16.
Can't quite make out the details of what's being said. It's echoing weirdly. It sounds like orders of some sort of pursuit, as far as you're able to pick up. You know, people are being directed, go there, go there. You hear, I think the most distinct thing you hear is secure the chamber. So there are clearly some who are being sent back to the room that you were in. But overall, it's the sounds of pursuit and chasing you. All right, so Ulua, you come to one of the spaces where there was a side passage. Do you continue to go towards Tanzanites, or do you take this side passage that is an unknown?
Can I roll a survival check to see if I can tell the difference?
Tell the difference,
like,
between what?
Like you mentioned in the other way, the air was stale, but like to see if I can tell it.
To see if this is a passageway that goes somewhere or if it's just a dead end.
Yeah. Right,
okay. Go ahead and roll that survival check.
13.
It seems like a plausible passageway. The air is not still like some of those passageways have been.
All right. I just kind of grab Gus's hand and I'm like, and basically say, let's run for a bit and then let's get real quiet.
Okay. Do you all follow suit with this?
Yep.
You can hear the jangling of the priest's under armor, but they are doing their best to run with you and they are following your authority right now. You make some twists and turns. There are additional side passages. Are you choosing, trying to choose specifically, or are you choosing at random? There's some that are going down, some that are going up.
I would say ones that go up, I guess.
Okay. So mostly heading up. You make your way and you feel like you've gained enough of a lead to possibly try to go into hiding. The Serafina, what she hears from the back of the group is very minimal at this point.
Okay. At this point, I'm just going to kind of, you know, not grind to a halt, but like, you know, slow down. And is the passage wide enough that we can kind of at least all see each other?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of whisper and be like, okay, let's move forward as quietly as we can.
Let's roll a group stealth check.
Yeah. 19.
Two priestly people have disadvantage, but they will do their best.
Oh, God.
Damn.
Well, I got that one.
Oh, man.
Okay.
17.
I'm just at the back being like, who are you? What do you want with that chamber?
So, funnily enough, both the priests rolled really high. That's four dice rolls that I still got really high numbers. The lowest I rolled was a 15.
Wow.
I rolled 19, 18, 17, and then a 15. So they're doing really well for those who wear chain underneath their clothes.
It might have actually balanced out your nat one.
What did you roll?
19.
Yeah, nobody made a nat 20, so that's not quite balanced. You're all pretty quiet. Serafina just, she's making too much noise. She's splashing too much in random little puddles.
I'm going to walk back to her and pick her up.
All right. That's kind of funny. Serafina, can you just...
I mean like fireman's carry.
Sack of potatoes. Serafina.
Yes. Oh, like over shoulder?
Yes.
The air whooshes out of your lungs for a moment.
Ugh.
Shh.
Yeah, okay.
She says just a little too loudly before being shushed. Given that Serafina was a little bit loud, you all are being quiet and listening, Alua, at the moment, since you're back here with Serafina over your shoulder. Go ahead and roll a perception check to see if you have any signs of pursuit.
Now that I'm leading, can I roll and just see if I can see like a way out?
Yeah.
17.
It's not that perceptive. 15.
Okay. Alua, you think you hear one set of footsteps following behind at a slower pace, no longer in race pursuit mode, but still determined and walking forward. Gus, as you look around from now the lead of the group, you catch a whiff of fresh air and you hear faintly in the distance a voice.
X-tree, X-tree, read all about it.
That same kid.
He gets same around. Music.
Okay. Is there like a ladder or a door?
Following the sounds of what increasingly becomes clear as the street noise of Overton, you do come to a grate that someone who is strong could probably lift and get free, but they would have to do it precariously balanced on a rusty looking set of ladder stairs. This is clearly a section that is used more for sewage than for secretive rendezvous.
Alua, could you use your broom to go up there and move that?
I just hand him the broom.
I'm not strong, but okay, I will get on the broom and close your...
Okay.
I don't know the word. I don't remember it.
And away we go.
And away we...
And as he's doing that, I crouch down, I put Serafina down gently, and I look at her and I go.
When I get up there, I'm going to take my immovable rod and set it out and then step onto that to use it for leverage to push up.
All right. I see what you're trying to do. You're like between the broom and the immovable rod, you're kind of trying to create a nice fulcrum situation here. Go ahead and roll your strength check with advantage.
Can I hold the action to cast hold person as soon as I see someone?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Rolled a 7.
With advantage, you rolled a 7?
Mm-hmm. Or no, a 9. I had rolled a 7 and a 5. Or no, okay. 7. Yeah, I have a plus 0. Yeah, 7.
The sound of the grate trying to be lifted is jarring. And Alua, thank goodness you have hold person readied. What is the save on that? Because coming around the corner is someone dressed in the acolyte style robes with the skull motif. And
13.
Their hand. What?
13.
13. And their hand is raised. They rolled a 19 naturally.
Damn it.
So they break past your spell and you can feel the threads of your spell kind of shrivel and pull away from them as they raise their hand and you hear them say Inferno. I need everybody to roll a dexterity saving throw.
Fuck, I'm gonna die again.
16.
You said 16?
Saving throw dexterity.
8.
Okay.
I got 14.
Okay. Ulua, you said you rolled a 15?
16.
16. Ooh, okay. You make it. Our little priestly friends don't make it.
Am I by chance above the spell because I'm way up in the air trying to push the grate up?
It's a valid question.
20-foot radius sphere. No, sorry.
Damn it. I just have 11 health, and this is not going to go well for me.
So I'm just rolling some dice here. Give me a second. Just got to roll some 8 d6s.
Tori.
Okay. Well, I didn't roll super high. Alua, you take half of 15 points of damage. Everybody else takes 15 points of damage. Both priests
fall from the thing, or do I just drape over my immovable rod?
Roll a d20. If you roll higher than 11 or higher, we'll say that you drape over your rod.
14.
Hey.
You on fire, but able to, as this roar of an explosion of flame occurs, both priests also collapse as the fire burns.
I was really hoping one of them was going to heal me, so damn it.
So yeah, there's lots of fire. 3 not awake individuals, unconscious individuals. I'm going to go back to our combat order with Alua up top.
I am going to attempt to cast sleep.
Okay, go ahead and roll those d8s.
Getting anything like I did last time, but
oh shit, can I use my inspiration to re-roll my thing and maybe take the half damage?
Yeah,
too late probably.
That's what it's I say you go for it if you want to, but it's past when you would know the outcome. But
so the thing was, I had to have a history. Someone told me something once that gave me once a long time ago, I arrested a pyromaniac who in the course of his interview told me how to avoid fire damage.
That's all right. Told you some of the tricks of how the spell explodes.
Never mind. Didn't work anyway. It's a 5.
Dang it.
I'm still draped over my bar. Never mind. And my inspiration's gone.
30. I lied.
You did not successfully put them to sleep. They have more hit points than that.
Fuck.
You see it like kind of almost take hold, but they shake their head and stave off the effect.
I guess I'm just going to draw my daggers and charge at them.
Okay. Well, your action's been used with the spell.
Right.
So you can be ready to do it and running up at them. But do you have a bonus action that lets you go stabby-stabby mode?
Well, I wasn't going to actually go stab them. I was going to use the bonus action to draw my daggers and then charge at them. And then I get... Either get there, whatever.
Yeah. All right, Seraphina, it is your turn.
Bardberry.
Okay. I would like to... And there's still just the one. One's asleep.
There's only
not
one
asleep.
Here.
The one that casts the fire.
There's a person who casts the fire spell.
Yeah, okay.
They are alone.
I mean, I don't have any spells, so I'm gonna buck up, be... Oh, no. Did you put me down? I guess to do all that?
Yes.
I would assume? Okay, perfect. So I'm gonna be brave, and I'm gonna run up to them and do some slasher stabs.
All right. Go ahead and roll those attacks.
Okay.
I just saw this picture of like Alua casting the spell, it fizzling in her hands, and her running forward and Seraphina running forward behind her and just kind of catching up a little ahead and trying to go stabby stabby.
So 19 to attack.
Okay, that hits.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Plus 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points of damage. And then for the bonus action, I'm going to do a second one. That's only 11.
Okay. 11 does not hit.
Dang it. I got the one in.
Okay. Cool. So, Gus, I need you to roll your first death saving throw of this.
Oh, shit. I forgot you were dead. Oh, there's something I can do anyways.
Pass. 15.
Great.
Yay.
Gus made save one. The individual brings up their hands to you, Seraphina, because you were the one to come be stabby. Stabby, stabby. I pick up second. Great. And they are going to cast, as they reach up and grasp your hand, Shocking Grasp. Does a 16 hit?
It does.
Okay. Are you wearing metal armor?
I don't think so, actually. Let me triple check, though. Let's see. I'm wearing studded. Is that metal?
Not really. Not by
then
my definition.
Then no.
Okay, so you then take 2d8 damage. You're going to take 9 points of damage. Lightning
dead.
Damage.
I'm dead. I'm out.
Really?
Yep.
Seraphina falls unconscious in front of you, Alua, as this person has reached out and grabbed her. Alua, their eyes turn to you. It's your turn.
I saw Seraphina connect, right?
Yeah.
Saw them take damage. Okay. I am going to try and do this one more fucking time. I'm going to try to put them to sleep. This time at the second level.
Okay. Roll those dice. Just on myself.
35.
They are asleep.
All right. I am...
That means you just missed it before.
No, I had 30 last time.
30 last time. They took damage, which brought them down low enough for this one to work.
Yeah. As I am... I guess kind of roll a retroactive check to see if I realize that Gus was down.
And Seraphina.
And Seraphina and the two priests.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious everybody's down.
Okay. One, two, three. Motherfucker. Okay. I'm going to use my second level healing word for Seraphina. Get 5 points of health. Woo! Such an itty bitty spell. Or no, five. 5 plus 3, 8. Sorry, 8.
Just because I want to know what the flavor of this would have been, Seraphina, you would have had to do a... Oh, you did healing. No, you had
healing cast, word.
Yeah. So this would have been your next turn before that could have happened. So Seraphina and Gus, I just want you to roll your death saving throws for that in between time, just because I want to know what would have happened.
Failed one.
Failed.
Okay, so Seraphina's brought up. With only having one fail. That's cool. And then what are
I'm
you
working my way back towards
Gus or towards the priests?
Well, the priests are on the way to Gus, right?
Yeah. So you're going to go for one of the priests first?
I'm actually going for both of them.
Okay. Gus, go ahead, roll one more death save because she's working her way back, but she's not to you yet.
Pass.
Woohoo! So the first one is 5. The second one is 4.
Okay. When you revive the first one, they quickly take into account what's going around, glance at the collapsed and clearly still breathing form of the sorcerer that cast fireball on you all, and they are prepping a spell. The second one, when you heal them, they are there. Okay, that means, Gus, you would have one more death save before she can get to you. Unless I'm mathing wrong, in which case somebody will make fun of me into eternity on
11
the
is a pass.
Comments.
That's 3 successes.
3 successes. Ooh, you...
I'm awake.
Wake up with one hit point as you successfully don't die. Just as Alua gets to you, you can see that Gus's eyes are fluttering open, barely breathing. Twice now, flirting with death. 3 times now, flirting with death.
I'm just going to do a
such like a flirt.
Try to do a medicine check to just like stabilize him.
Yeah, he's. You can roll that medicine check if you want to, but because he is conscious now.
Is he technically stabilized?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
Someone remind me to buy health potions when this is over.
I'm going to try to maneuver him, because what I would have done was called the broom, rode the broom up, and I'm assuming as I approached him, that's when he wakes up. I'm going to try to maneuver him onto the broom and switch places. And then I'm going to give it a shot to try to get the freaking thing off.
Okay, roll a strength check against a grate.
You also have an inspiration. Don't forget.
Well, Bardic, or...
like one of the Word of the Day DM, ones from...
The DM inspiration.
Which is what? Is that just a reroll?
Reroll, yeah.
Strength check. Oh, natural 19.
Nice. The great groans and shifts. Rust flakes from the ceiling or from the I guess the street.
Mode activated.
You shift it off, and just as you shift it off, you feel a wave of warm energy as the priest healer casts their spell of healing that is a mass effect, which gives
everybody
on your team.
Okay.
The sleeping sorceress is too far away. 6 points of health.
I have just enough health to take one punch in the face from a commoner.
And you all are climbing out of the sewer. Unless you want to description of the surface.
At some point, I'm going to retrieve my immovable rod. I'm assuming you're shuttling people on your broom.
I don't know if I need to hold the grate up or like if I climb out and like help people off the broom as they're going back and forth.
We can speed through that since we're not getting. So yeah, you're able to get everybody up to the surface. The last one climbing up, probably being Serafina, I'm guessing. The healer priests look at you all and they say, "This is too much adventure for us."
You should.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not your average quotidien day, is it?
I don't think I'm going on any more of these trips. And I think it's time we block up that passageway.
And I just look at them, I go, yes, hold that thought. And I put the thing back. Sorry.
What you move the like grate back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
And I just whisper down into, I was like, you're lucky I have no spell slots left. And
we should get out of here.
And I really wish that I didn't have to be able to see the cast Vicious Mockery, be able to see them. But I'm going to look at Gus and I'm going to say, I'm really sorry, but I need your bag of holding. And I open it up and I start digging around for all the gold that he has in there. And I take what little I have and I hold it out to them. And I said, this should be enough and plus a little extra. I'm sorry for all the trouble.
And we appreciate the protection.
I have zero gold.
Okay. And they take the money because they, got to pay for those diamonds to bring people back when they're requested. And they head off down the street, kind of limping along a little bit, the two of them. But as they move, you can see that they progressively seem to be walking and striding more efficiently.
My breath would go, must be nice to have all your spell slots left.
Even as they also look a little bit drained with each effort that they expend.
Are we back near the Skylark? Is that why we hear this kid, or is it just he's just somewhere else?
You're still in the Temple District. And looking around since you've said that, you see the Temple to the God of Information, and standing in front of it is one of the newsies who's like slack jawed, just watching you all, like watching the two priests walk away, watching.
I'm sorry, the God of Information?
Yeah.
Who's that happen to be?
Asher.
Just check.
Asher is a god. Woo!
It worked.
They also are the god of magic and a few other things, so a little interesting, but this particular temple is the temple for information. Some also call it the library. An archaic word that Asher made up, everyone's pretty sure.
The library?
I think we should get out of here right now before that guy wakes up.
I think my house is closest.
Okay. If I die again today, I'll be very upset. We should go.
I left my dad unconscious upstairs of my house that was destroyed, so I think I need to go there.
Right.
Remind me where you live in...
She's in the Cobblestone Commons, which is... Or the Cobble Commons. She's just east of... Just to the right of the Temple Districts a bit over.
Okay. I'm going to look at her and I'm going to say, take my broom.
I don't know how to use it.
If you want to call it to you, you say tally ho and it'll come.
Tally ho.
Oh,
shit.
And if you want it to fly, you just say, and away we go. And then just think where you want to go. Just think direction.
Okay. I guess I will call to you when I'm done.
We'll meet you there. We'll take a pit stop by my house. We've had girls come in with cuts and bruises all over the place. So I have supplies. We have a general stock at our house, and we'll patch up there. But
okay, wait. We'll come to you. Do I say to go again?
And away we go.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to get on the broom and go, and away we go. Okay. I'm going to head to my house.
Okay.
My mom's going to be pissed.
Stumbling towards Ulua's house.
Gus and Ulua, you're stumbling towards Ulua's home.
As we stumble, I'm like, I look at him and I go, How firm is your pride?
Why?
I'm in a little better shape than you are, and it might be faster on one set of feet than two, if you would not be offended.
Yeah, okay.
And I instead of
I would, like, crawl up on her back instead of, like,
yeah, I'm not fireman lifting. I'm just gonna crouch down and, like,
maybe I'll, like, pull my hat down over my face a little bit, like,
gnomish dignity totally compromised.
I mean, I've got my cloak back on, so neither of us should hopefully be recognizable.
The two of you make your way through the streets, maybe eventually getting on public transit with the carpools or something, but make your way over to Ulua's home. Serafina, you take a much quicker path with this broom, encountering some air traffic, which is a novelty for you because you don't generally have to deal with air traffic. You don't generally get or want to spend money on.
Just envisioning Serafina just screaming on this broom all the way across town.
A couple of carpet cops chasing after her and then giving up when she's just gone.
Wee-woo!
You arrive home to seeing your mother staring at the house.
Oh, as soon as I see her on the broom, I'm just yelling, I can explain.
And I think we should close there with Serafina saying, I can explain, our other two friends, Ulua and Gus, making their way, tired and a bit beaten, to the...
the equivalent of taking a taxi cab to the emergency room.
Yeah, making your ways all to the different places, getting patched up, berated, and otherwise, depending on who you are and what your situation is. and we'll just close right there. I hope you'll be able to join us next time. Probability of Demise, like, subscribe, do all the things, click all the buttons, leave a comment down below, and we have loved you on this case of the Goddess and the Great Beyond. All right. Thank you so much, and bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.